Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 25th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe officially opens the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair in Bulawayo, returning to his old theme of attacking the West for imposing the so-called targeted sanctions against Harare.
The country is quite significant because it's an opportunity for the country to showcase economic potential and investment potential.
Some Zimbabweans welcome the move by the government to dump diamond mining companies in Marange and bring in new investors.
On paper, it's a good idea if you look at how they've done it in Botswana, where they have one or two companies really in
there. And everything is happening in Cape Town tonight, where Chimurenga music guru Thomas Mafumo is expected to share the stage with Jah Prayzah and others in an oversubscribed show.
President Robert Mugabe officially opened the 55th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair in Bulawayo today, returning to his old theme of attacking the West for imposing, quote, illegal economic sanctions on the country. President Denis Sassou Nguesso of Congo-Brazzaville was expected to officially open the ZITF but cancelled at the last minute. Industry Minister Mike Bima, whose ministry hosts the trade fair, told Studio 7 that Sassou Nguesso's wife was not in good health, resulting in his failure to attend the annual trade showcase. The president spoke on various issues but emphasized that Zimbabweans must remain steadfast and resilient against what he says are illegal economic sanctions imposed on the country by Britain, the United States and their allies. Mr. Mugabe said, quote, "Let us not crumble under sanctions and show the world that Zimbabwe will not die under sanctions and that Zimbabwe will never be a colony again," unquote.
Mr. Mugabe took a swipe at the West, saying it singled out Zimbabwe for punitive measures because Harare was empowering the indigenous black community through its land reform program. On the indigenization law, the president said his government has no plans to nationalize foreign-owned companies, but will work with them to empower local people. President Mugabe said despite the sanctions, 14 countries had participated at the ZITF this year. He complained about poor service delivery in the country's cities, adding some people were being forced to drink sewage water coming through their taps.
Amongst the three countries making their maiden appearance at the fair are the United States of America, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Nigeria. Other international exhibitors came from China, Botswana, Kenya, Brazil, and Iran, Indonesia, Malawi, Mozambique, Namibia, South Africa, and Zambia. China and South Africa are dominating the fair. Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that such showcases are important in normal circumstances.
Well, under normal circumstances, it's quite significant because it's an opportunity for the country to showcase economic potential and investment potential. So you find that a number of investors, both domestic and foreign, will actually come to showcase their products, their services. And also, as a country, it's a way of trying to woo potential investors into the country. But of course, that's under normal circumstances because most countries the world over actually have trade fairs. It's not just Zimbabwe. But the major problem now with attracting investment in Zimbabwe relates to the structural bottlenecks, for example, issues of infrastructure, issues of political and economic uncertainties. So those are the factors that are, I think, impeding against our efforts of trying to woo investors into the country, because as it is, the cost of doing business in Zimbabwe is very, very high.
President Robert Mugabe, in his opening remarks, attacked Western countries for imposing sanctions that he blamed for the country's economic problems. Do you agree with him?
No, obviously I don't agree with him. When you look at number one, I want to give you two facts. The first fact is that when you look at the economic history of Zimbabwe, the challenges that we have actually started way back in the 90s when government actually decided to implement an economic structural adjustment program. And they were exacerbated in 1997 following the unbudgeted for compensation of war veterans.
That was Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Conspicuous by their absence at the fair running under the theme New Ideas to New Heights are indigenous companies, with the exception of Mr. Mugabe's family business, Alpha Omega Dairy, which made a debut appearance. Tomorrow, Studio 7 will speak with Affirmative Action Group Executive Director Davison Gomo on the absence of indigenous players at the fair.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
Some Zimbabweans have welcomed a move by the government to dump diamond mining companies in Marange and bring in new investors. The companies have been failing to remit revenue to Treasury. Economic analysts, however, warn that dropping the companies may be an uphill task. Economists and political commentators who spoke to Studio 7 about remarks by Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa that only two diamond mining firms will remain in the controversial Marange fields in Manicaland said the move is likely to cost the government millions of dollars in lawsuits. However, they noted that the government can use the Minister of Mines to stop the operations by not renewing licenses of the targeted companies.
Companies mining diamonds in Marange include Anjin Investments Diamond Mining Company, Gienyame Jinama, Kusena Marange Resources, and Mbada Diamonds. The government says it wants to restructure its diamond mining operations along the successful Botswana model, where the state controls diamond mining. Minister Chidakwa was not available to clarify how the government will select the two companies to remain in Marange. Political analyst Dumisani Nkomo of Habakuk Trust says there's need for Zimbabwe to pass a diamond mining law before the government tries to restructure diamond mining in Marange.
On paper, it's a good idea if you look at how they've done it in Botswana, where they have, you know, one or two companies really in the diamond sector, and those companies are accountable, and the state plays a major role in terms of that industry, because it is a strategic mineral. It does not necessarily mean because the state will be heavily involved, or company is controlled or directed by the state, or because if fewer companies are involved in terms of a monopoly, this necessarily means we're dealing with the problem. Especially the companies are corrupt, especially the companies are linked to the whole diamond, the mafia that is in place. So what is important is to put in place a comprehensive diamond policy.
But at the end of the day, we are talking about a party that is ruling, which does not want to come out with some of these policies to actually make sure that they run the mining of diamonds smoothly. So it may not be workable. Do you think so?
It may not be workable, because I think the problem in Zimbabwe is always the problem of policy inertia, number one, the inability to implement the policy, and secondly, the culture of corruption is a big problem. And thirdly, the culture of a few people eating on behalf of many.
That was political analyst Dumisani Nkomo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
Oh,
Parliament is inviting the public to nominate people to be appointed as commissioners of Zimbabwe's five independent commissions, as stated in the new constitution. The nominations are open until May 23rd, and they are for the Electoral, Human Rights, Media, Gender and National Peace and Reconciliation commissions. Those nominated will be shortlisted and publicly interviewed by the Parliamentary Committee on Standing Rules and Orders before the list is submitted to President Robert Mugabe. The president will then appoint the chairpersons and eight other members to each commission from a list of 12 nominees. Any members of the public interested in sending nominations can pick up forms at Parliament Building or download them online on the Parliament's website. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Media Institute of Southern Africa, Zimbabwe Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya about the issue.
It's a difficult position that I find myself in. On one end, really, as an organization that advocates for media freedom and freedom of expression, we don't believe in statutory regulation. Having said that, we then have to understand the realities on the ground. And the reality on the ground is that our constitution recognizes statutory regulation in the form of the Zimbabwe Media Commission. In that sense, we as Mr. Zimbabwe and other stakeholders in fighting for media freedom, we really need to take our part. But we as an organization will stand guided by our members, because our members are for self-regulation.
Do you think that this process, of course, as it's named in the Constitution, will be transparent?
You see, this is why I was saying earlier on, for us as Mr. Zimbabwe, we believe in self-regulation. We would have appreciated a constitution that recognizes that fundamental principle, which principle is recognized by several instruments on freedom of expression and access to information across the globe. This is why you find the current Prime Minister of Britain rejected moves to introduce statutory regulation around media and so on. I think it's time now that we as Zimbabweans congregate around this issue and come up with a policy and a framework that works for us.
That was Media Institute of Zimbabwe Southern Africa Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number: 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-0010-334. Once again, 033-0010-334.
We take a look at regional and international news.
South Sudan's government says it has freed four political detainees accused of plotting a coup in a bid to revive peace talks with the opposition. The four include former ruling party People's Liberation Movement Secretary General Pagan Anam. Their detention has been a major obstacle in talks between President Salva Kiir's government and rebels loyal to his former vice president Riek Machar.
U.S. President Barack Obama says it may be time for a pause in Middle East peace talks while both Israelis and Palestinians consider their options. Mr. Obama told reporters in Seoul today during a visit to South Korea that it is still in the interest of both sides to seek peace, but that neither side has shown the political will to make tough decisions.
And Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk is accusing Russia of wanting to occupy Ukraine militarily and politically, as both Kiev and Moscow mass troops are close to their mutual border. Mr. Yatsenyuk warned today that Russia's actions could lead to a wider military conflict in Europe. He told an interim cabinet meeting that Moscow wants to start World War III.
Water Minister Xavier Kasukuwere says more than $90 million is needed for the completion of the ambitious Gwai Shangani Dam, widely seen as the answer to Bulawayo's perennial water crisis. Kasukuwere says government remains committed to the project, although activists in Matabeleland feel otherwise. Former Water Minister Semsi Pepankomo tells Studio 7 when he left office last year, he had signed an $800 million loan with a China bank for the project. He says he's worried government is no longer prioritizing the water scheme.
When Kasukuwere refers to $90 million, he is actually talking about the Gwai Shangani Dam as distinct from the Matabeleland Zambezi Water Project. So those are two different. The one that can absorb $90 million is the dam, which is really financed by government. But if we're talking about the pipeline, but even then, the $90 million will not be sufficient to finish the Gwai Shangani Dam. Because when I left, we had calculated that it was going to cost about $200 million or so. So that could be for part of the money that will go into the construction of Gwai Shangani Dam. As for the pipeline itself, which is about 245 kilometers from Gwai Shangani Dam to Bulawayo, that one, insofar as I'm concerned, a deal was struck. We even actually signed a contract with the contractor who was going to build. And the name of that contractor is China Dalian. And they have been here when I was in office. They brought a lot of engineers to come and take some aerial pictures, as well as they walked along the pipeline route to dig holes in order to test the soil. And we signed a contract, and the contract was for $1.2 billion. Which was going to be coming from a China Exim Bank. Now, there were two things that were required at that time. One, a letter from government asking that this money be granted to government. And the BT wrote that letter, and I saw it was copied to me. And in that letter, BT told China Exim Bank and the Chinese government that it was an important project, and that they are willing, Zimbabweans are willing to be bound by the loan agreement.
Former Water Minister Semsi Pepankomo in Bulawayo.
Chimurenga Music Guru Thomas Mapumo is in Cape Town, where he's expected to share the stage with Ja Prayzah and some South African artists in a show tonight, kicking off a three-show tour. Mapumo, who is in exile in America, will hold the three shows in South Africa before returning to Oregon, where he currently resides. Chimurenga Music publicist Blessing Vava says Mapumo's fans in South Africa should prepare for an explosive show tonight, as a music maestro will be launching some new songs and also performing some of the fans' favorites. Meanwhile, another living legend in Oliver Mtukudzi will tonight grace the stage at the Harare International Conference Center in a show dubbed Tuku's Greatest Hits. Mtukudzi, popularly known as Tuku, we also have collaborations with some young artists that include Amara Brown, amongst others, at tonight's show. Vava speaks with Mavelas Mtlanganyahuye about Mapumo's show in Cape Town.
The concerts by Dr. Thomas Tafirenyika Mapumo are going to be held. The first show is going to be held tonight in Cape Town at Cherry's Kitchen. The second show is going to be held tomorrow in Johannesburg at the Standard Bank Arena. Then he's going to wind up his tour with the show in Messina at the Messina Showgrounds on Sunday.
Which other artists are going to be singing alongside Mr. Mapumo? You were mentioning that there are a few other artists from Zimbabwe that will also be performing at these shows.
From Zimbabwe, we have a guy called Ja Prayzah. He's actually one of the guys that are riding high in Zimbabwe. He's just won some NAMA awards, so he's come with his band called the Third Generation Band. We're also going to have some South African DJs and a hip-hop group called Uhuru, which is going to be backing up the legendary musician Thomas Mapumo.
So those who would like to attend this show, where can they get their tickets, and what's the cost of attending the shows?
Tickets for the concert are available at ShopRite through Combi Ticketing, and the advance tickets are going for only 200 rand. At the gate, they are going for 250 rand.
What can you promise your fans tonight and the following shows? What can they look forward to? Has Mapfumo come up with any new songs, or what is he going to be playing for the fans?
Well, what I can confirm is that the group is ready to go. The Old Man is geared up for the concert tonight. And fans should also look forward to hearing some of our songs from the forthcoming album, Danger Zone. We're also going to take this opportunity to launch what I can call a baby CD with two single tracks taken from the album, Danger Zone. Fans should also expect to hear some of the popular tunes that have made Thomas Mapfumo an international icon.
That was Chimurenga music publicist Blessing Vava speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye from Johannesburg in South Africa.
In sports news, Liverpool coach Brendan Rodgers could smile all the way to the league title in a weekend which could see Zimbabwe's reigning coach of the year, Big Boy Mawiwi, lose his job. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us the latest on the two coaches.
This is the guessing game that Zimbabwe football fans are playing as they brace for the epic Barclays Premier League clash between top of the table Liverpool and second place Chelsea. The whole of this week, the talk of the football family has been centered on that game. In bars, in the streets and in homes, debate has been on whether Chelsea will be able to stop the Liverpool juggernaut from an early league title celebration after 24 years of waiting. Brendan Rodgers' Liverpool lead Jose Mourinho's Blues by 5 points with 3 games remaining, but fans still think the war is too far from over until it is really over. Some, however, are offering odds that the Blues will not withstand the Reds' firepower, especially at Anfield, where Liverpool have proved invincible. Should Liverpool lose and Manchester City win against Crystal Palace, this will throw the title race wide open, with any of the top three teams with a realistic chance of taking the title that Manchester United have surrendered so meekly. The failure by the Red Devils claimed the scalp of manager Davis Moyes, who was sacked during the course of the week. Under threat too is Harare City coach Big Boy Mawiwi, who also faced the chop after this weekend's Castle Lager Premier Soccer League matches. The reigning Zimbabwe coach of the year has been given up to Sunday to win the game against Dynamos or leave the club he has helped into promotion into the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League in 2012. Harare City, who finished joint third on 54 points with champion Dynamos and runners-up Highlanders, have lost all their first 3 games of the season, including a shock 1-0 defeat to newly promoted ZPC Kariba. Mawiwi knows the threat he's under, but the coach is unfazed in facing Zimbabwe's most popular football team. He says his mind is focused not on the goings-on in the boardroom, but on the game at hand.
We have to be strong. We are going to play a very tough game against Dynamos and come Sunday.
Dynamos, on their part, have not won a game at the National Sports Stadium since relocating to the 65,000-seater stadium at the beginning of the season. The team lost their league game 1-0 against newly promoted ZPC Kariba and followed this up with a 3-0 post-match penalty defeat at the hands of FC Platinum in the final of the Independence Trophy. But striker Washington Pakamisa, who has been under heavy criticism for failing to convert his scoring chances, says he will not have any mercy for Mawiwi and his Harare side. Soon after the defeat against FC Platinum, Pakamisa promised to make amends for the misses in the next Dynamos home game.
In the next game, I'll do something that I'll score focus.
Leaders Islanders, who are on 7 points, face Wange in a top-of-the-table clash at Babafield Stadium. Both teams are on 7 points, But the talk of the football fraternity remains newly promoted ZPC Kariba, who are joint top with the Highlanders and Wange. The Kariba side are playing away to Buffaloes and striker Atro Nyamiwa, who scored the goal that sank both Dynamos and Harare City, says people should not underestimate the new boys. The season is still in its infancy, but points picked at the start of the season play a crucial role in determining the outcome at the end of the season. In that respect, Capes United coach Taurai Manguiro is hoping for 3 points at Mandava against FC Platinum, who have just fired assistant coach Masimba Dinyero. Manguiro, whose team has also been missing too many chances, is looking forward that the papers of top-scoring Malawian striker Ishmael Tindwa would have been sorted out in time for him to play against the Moneybags.
Yeah, we are still running around the paperwork, not yet completed. I would want to believe by the time we play our next match, he would be available.
Fans, though, are waiting with bated breath on the outcome of the game between the Reds of Liverpool and the Blues of Chelsea. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
As a reminder, Chris, to our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Music guru Thomas Mafumo, there, Chris, taking us to the end of the program. He's performing in Cape Town and Johannesburg this weekend. So, lucky those Zimbabweans who are in South Africa, enjoy yourselves. Before we go, Chris, we recap one or two of our top main stories.
President Robert Mugabe officially opens the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair in Bulawayo, returning to his old theme of attacking the West for imposing the so-called targeted sanctions against Harare.
That's all we had in our broadcast tonight from Sandra Nyaira. Good night.